With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Till I was 30, I was a Virgin Air steward working for British Airways. We're back.
Nice.
Back with a bang.
It does feel like a long time since I've seen you guys in this podcast format. Obviously, I saw you, Midland, in Singapore very, very recently. But, Nate, I haven't seen you for a long time.
It's been a while, mate. I think, was Monza the last time? No.
No, because I wasn't in Monza. Surely not. It would have been Zandvoort.
Oh, my God. Zandvoort. Well, that's a whole month ago. So, it is a long time.
We did do a podcast after Monza.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
Well, I don't feel like I've not been in Lawrence's presence properly for that amount of time. I haven't been able to breathe him in, you know, and just be there.
I don't know what to say to that.
Don't say anything.
Well, you're going to have to catch up on all your news, Nate, later, but I know what you really want. You want to know what my score for the joke is, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's all I want at this point. Right now, that's all I need. Give it to me.
9.3.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll take that. Anything in the nines is good. I like.
You sound that was a really good score.
What? No, I'm happy. I just thought maybe it was going to get 9.5, but you know. That's me clutching at straws. That's me just being petty. I put my hands up and everything. I am happy with that. I even did like a celebratory gesture. Anyway, I suppose that was all right, wasn't it? That was a good joke. 9.3, I'll take it. Let's go.
Welcome to the Pad Hoc, a podcast featuring stories following Formula One around the world. I'm Lawrence Bresso, F1 correspondent and presenter.
I'm Chris Medland, F1 correspondent at Racer.
And I'm Nate Saunders from ESPN.
What do you mean from ESPN?
General editor at ESPN.
Now we're talking.
Right, I was going to do a thing. Never mind. I've got a new job role. I've got a new job title, everyone. Friends of the pod. I got promoted last week, which I was very pleased with. I'm now general editor. So thank you. When Lawrence and Meadows see me, they have to salute at me.
Yeah.
And I say, at ease, soldier. It's very nice of ESPN. They gave me a tank to drive into work now as part of my new role as general. Not allowed to fire it, though. Health and safety. Gone mad. But yeah, no. Thank you very much. It was a good week. So while you guys were out in Singapore, that was happening to me.
You were climbing the ranks.
I was. I was climbing the corporate ladder while you guys were sheltering from the rain.
One step closer to being David Brent.
Yeah, we're all climbing that ladder, though, aren't we? So, news and notes out of the way. I do need to work out what I'm going to say on the intro now. Maybe I'll be like I'm General Nate Saunders from ESPN. That's quite a good one, isn't it?
General Saunders.
Yeah, General.
Yeah.
I might just do that in general life, actually. General life.
Yeah, right.
That wasn't even intentional.
Previously, he lived associate life, but now he lives general life.
Yeah, I am an associate man. Some good news to kick the show off with. Any other news? News and notes from you guys?
Well, that is the second best bit of news on this pod.
Second best.
Yeah, the best bit is the fact that this is back. If you've only got 1 minute to spare, want to know who finished when and where, sit back,
relax, because we got you. Here's Nate with the 60-second review. Hello, everyone. After mixed reviews last week, I'm going to return to a normal review. As the jingle suggested, it's time for the 60-second review for the Singapore Grand Prix. More like Singapore me another review, Nate. You absolute legend. You absolute stud. You absolute slab of prime marbled beef. Anyway, just reading some comments that I've got over the years. Let's go, shall we? In first position was Sergio Perez, Mexican Minister of Defence, or Mexico's Minister of Winning Races when Max is in contention. Am I right? I'm not wrong. Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, second and third.
First podium for Ferrari since May. So next time someone says believe in Ferrari, don't. Okay.
Double podium.
Lando Norris in fourth. Danny Ric, welcome back to the big time. Ah, and look, in sixth position. Credit where it's due. Yeah, of course. You know, it was a great race, but same for everybody. It's Lance Stroll, everybody's favourite Canadian who drives for Aston Martin. Max Verstappen in seventh. More of that, please, Max, going forward. Eighth. Sebastian Vettel, there's one more race left to win, or whatever he keeps saying. And he finished in eighth. Lewis Hamilton in ninth. That wasn't a very good legendary GOAT performance, was it? Pierre Gasly, we love Gasly, he's in tenth. Bottas, him and Russell back together again. Kevin Magnussen, stop going to IKEA, buddy. You and those meatballs, they've got to stop. Am I right? That was a clever joke, everybody. You should be all laughing your asses off at that. George Russell. Oh, I missed Mick Schumacher. He was there. George Russell, the streak is over. Yuki, what are you doing, bro? Ocon. Albon, impressive, he was even racing. Alonso, such a goat, he didn't even finish. Nicholas Latifi. We were talking about budget caps all week, but that move he pulled on Guan Yu Zhou was complete budget. Let's never talk about it again. I don't ever want to see it again. Bye.
It was slightly over 60 seconds this week, but returned to form.
I do like the way that you managed to just interlude yourself to be like, oh yeah, by the way, wrong stat, but look, come on, 51% facts, it's fine, people will understand.
Yeah, first double podium for Ferrari since May.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy, yeah. Right? Like, that's pretty insane. Max Verstappen fans were fuming at that. I'm not rooting for Max to finish seventh every week because I dislike him. I just like championships and good title battles. So that's why I said more of that, please. Lawrence, are you going
to
say something?
This shouldn't be allowed, mate. You shouldn't be able to do your 60-second review and then have a load of caveats at the end of it.
Oh, fine. Yeah, no caveats then. No caveats allowed. Max, please keep finishing seventh because I hate you. that's why I have to caveat myself because I say silly things. I don't hate Max, just to clarify something. Clear that up.
Yeah, exactly.
And turn me into some monster. But yeah.
Especially now. Now you've been promoted, you've got a target on your back.
I know. Looked quite, which for a general is a terrible thing to have on your back. That's when you know things have gone really badly. General, there's a target on your back. Get down, everyone.
This is
great content. I'm really enjoying this quite a lot.
Poor Lawrence.
This is Lawrence is tuning in. What time is it in Japan?
Is it half six?
It is half six, yeah.
Half six. You've waited all day to do this pod, and then this is what we make you sit through.
I'm so excited just to do this.
Just complete nonsense unfolds. I love it.
Where in Japan are you?
I'm in Yokkaichi.
Ooh.
So quite close to the circuit, about half an hour's drive from the circuit. Cool. I spent a little bit of time in Tokyo, a little bit of time in Nagoya. It's been a good couple of days.
Japan's one of your favourite places, isn't it? Is that right?
I love it. Like, I got off the plane, and I think I'd just forgotten, because I haven't been here since 2019, how friendly everyone is. Like, people go out their way to help you, and they run, like, the person who came to meet me, they had a little sign that said Lawrence Barreto and Co. for me and the team, which I thought was really nice.
That's what F1's being rebranded to. Lawrence Barreto and Co. and friends.
And she wanted to run everywhere because she thought that we were running late. And I was trying to say, no, you don't have to run. It's okay. And then we get to the place and she waits until we get in the car. And then she waves with both hands as we're leaving. And every person that I've met here has been super friendly, super helpful. It's just so nice to be here. It's like a happy
mega
place.
I am slightly jealous. Having flown home, and I saw you at the airport, didn't I, on Monday, and we were leaving to go our separate ways, and you were kind of like, oh, I'm tired though, you know, a bit jealous you're going home, and I was like, yeah, looking forward to going back to my own bed, and then I got home, and everyone arrived in Japan, and I'm like, oh yeah, but Japan's mega, so slightly missing it, but it's all right. Nate and I, the general and I, get to do it at weird hours.
Yeah, that's true. I've never been to Japan, for F1 or
no
otherwise.
No way!
So... yeah, so, you know, I always get this pang of feelings when I see you guys all out there having fun. It does look like an amazing place. I like the fact that the fans are always they look so kind of, when they get to the circuit, they're just, like, so passionate. And they all have, like, you know, they've all bought stuff for the drivers. And they've bought you stuff before, haven't they, Lawrence? I remember someone bought you, like, a little gift one year.
But no. No. Medlin, did you get a gift?
No.
Who was it? Someone, this is great content as well. Someone who wasn't a driver got a gift who I either know or spoke to, or I read about it on Twitter, or it didn't happen. One of those eventualities. I will stand behind.
The Charlotte Sefton, the McLaren, when she was at McLaren as a press officer, got like a key ring that was from a fan, that was like a knitted one, I think. I think all of the McLaren.
Yeah, and it was specifically for her, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The fan was like waiting outside McLaren. They were like, "Do you want to? You went for Lando or for Carlos?" And they were like, "Nope, for Charlotte."
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, okay, yeah."
I'm pretty sure that Vicky Lloyd, who used to be head of comms at Red Bull, she had a cardboard cutout made of her in what's the cartoon character style? The words escape me, like the Japanese anime.
Anime, yeah.
Anime, yeah. Oh dear, oh dear.
Sorry, Laz, I am absolutely ruining this.
You are absolutely destroying.
You said anime, yeah. I just had to make sure you didn't go around to people and say, "Can you draw me in the anime, yeah, style, please?" And they'd be like, "What? What's that?" Well, okay. I'm rooting for you to get a present, you know, this year. I think it's going to happen for you.
Mm.
I'm confident someone's going to have made something, like a little shoe for you that they've painted.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. That'd be cool.
Wait, if that happens, Nate, you will be the first to know.
I hope so. I would love to know that. Medders needs to know. You need to put it in the group chat.
You will not be the first to know. You know that the first to know will be his Instagram story, and then you'll be like, "Hey, you said you'd tell me," and he'll be like, "Oh yeah, I did. I forgot."
That will be a rift, actually. A rift in the making. Rift.
I feel like
maybe beyond redemption.
Yeah, there's already a rift, just on the potential that there could be a rift.
Yeah, that's true. The rift is that there could be a rift soon, and I can't believe you'd let a rift potentially happen.
I think you've changed, Nate. Since you've been promoted, the power's gone to your head.
That is the pressure of war, my friend. Okay, you have to make decisions on the battlefield. That's why they give me the stripes.
Yeah, I'm just impressed you're in full military uniform. That's sensational.
I mean, there's a lot of countries you shouldn't do that in. And F1 races in a lot of them. Just walking down around in like military uniform. Otherwise, I would definitely do it. It just gives off a really bad vibe. I will not be doing that.
You keep ever since you mentioned the tank, Nate. I just want to say all I'm imagining is, you know, Pierce Brosnan in GoldenEye when he drives the tank.
Yes,
I'm just imagining that's you.
I've had some compliments in my day, Lawrence, but that is probably the highest of them that you think I could pull off of Pierce Brosnan. A great movie reference as well. That is one of my favourite movies. That's brilliant.
That is going to lead me to segue slightly. That this is completely off topic, but the reserve drivers on Instagram, who are very funny.
Very good account, yeah.
They did a qualifying quotes post where it's all about, you know, they're taking the piss out of everything. And Lewis said, "Because of the cost cap, I'm running used nose studs." But it was followed up by, "I'm confused. Are all Pierce's banned?" And it was a picture of Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
And then underneath it said, "Guess I'll drive another day." Which I thought was very good. I thought it was really good. So shout out to those guys.
That account is, whenever they post something, it's gold. So yeah, hat tip to them. They're really funny.
Amazing.
They do. I mean, they're pretty quick with them as well. There's every session they'll have like six like clearly made up quotes from people. But yeah, there was a good set of them around the budget cap, wasn't there? Like Lawrence Stroll saying, "Look, I only spent $600 billion on one driver. That if that makes me over the cap, then what? I don't know what else does," or something. Joke about Mr. Lawrence.
Yeah, I'll read through those just because I want to now because I've opened them up. So Christian Horner said,
yeah, do.
I take allegations of overspending with a pinch of truffle-infused pink Himalayan rock salt. and he says it's San Pellegrino sparkling water off a duck's back. Mattia Bonotto said, we'll investigate, strategize, and then just ask Charles what to do. and Leclerc's accountant said, should we investigate Red Bull's finances? Question. So those sorts of things are very funny. Liz Truss said, even I think they fucked up. So
good. That was political banter.
Yeah. From the Aussies really to the Brits.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think they are Australian. So, good job, guys. Good day.
Probably the best one is with the Aston Martin team principal. It says, we play by the rules. We're clean. Mike Crack is clean.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Which is followed by, I hate overspending. Ask anyone. Mike Crack is tight. So
it is funny, Lawrence. Come on, don't put your head in your hands. It is funny. You know, that was funny when we were 10, and it's funny now when we're in our 30s. Okay? That's a fact of life.
Anyway, that was the copyright, the reserve drivers. I've just stolen it all to make Nate laugh and Lawrence squirm.
So, and laugh he did.
He did.
Really did.
In general, he laughed.
Yes.
How was Singapore, Lawrence?
Good segue.
Do you reckon we'll ever get to a point where we won't congratulate each other on good segues?
I just like saying it because of how ridiculous it is to say good segues to someone when they just asked the question, like, a good segue.
Complete right-hand turn. It's like, well, smoothly done.
Yeah, it's like, that was sublime. We went from talking about, like, just giggling at nonsense stuff to, how about Singapore?
Yeah.
To Lawrence?
Well, I had a great time in Singapore. All the better for seeing you there, Medders, of course. I did some cool stuff. I had a great interview with Yuki. He was he gave the longest answers. I don't know when you guys interview him, but normally I find that his answers are quite short. But we talked for about 10 minutes, and I reckon I asked him 5 questions. Like, he was really excited, obviously, because there was the news that he will be retained for next year, which I don't think we've talked about on one of these podcasts, have we?
No.
I think so.
I think he just slipped under the radar.
So he was really pleased with that. But the best piece of news that I got out of that interview was afterwards. I noticed that he had a Amiga Swatch Moonwatch. Now, I don't know if I've bored you guys with this story before, but he had one. I've been looking for one since they came out earlier this year. And he was like, well, I just went down to Orchard in Singapore and bought one for all my engineers. I was like, no way. So I went the next day and I got the last one, guys. I got the last one. So wow. I was very excited. Wow. I'm very grateful for Yuki for telling me that this was such a thing. And that's the end of that story, guys.
It's a good one.
You played that wrongly, though, because you should have said to him, you should look to your watch and be like, oh, I would have loved one of those, Yuki. And then just sat in silence. A little bit. Just seeing what he'd have been like, sorry, I'll get you one, Lawrence. There's one left in the shop. I saw it after I took them all. There's one left. So really, it was nice of him to tell you, but you know, he should have you should have played that situation better, I think. Medis,
yeah, maybe.
He had a new contract, didn't he? He could have spent easily.
Exactly, yeah. Big new signing bonus. Yeah, you could have been like, look,
that's true.
Help me out here. So
well, I feel like I learn a lot on the podcast, mate. So
yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah. No, I think that was a good story, but yeah, I definitely think that you needed to guilt trip an F1 driver into giving you a freebie. That would have been the way to go. Speaking of F1 drivers you spoke to, that does sound cool. And on the Yuki point, whenever I speak to Yuki, like in media sessions, it is a short, sweet answer. I don't know if Medes is the same. So that is impressive that he was quite talkative. Were you going to say something, Medes?
I can see your segue. I'm ready.
I'm going to segue. You ready? This is going to be huge. Yeah. Okay.
Go on then.
Get on segues, because we're going to segue. I saw a great picture of you. Two people I'm very fond of. So yourself and a Mr. Daniel Ricciardo. And you had a leaf blower with you. Explain what that was about, because that was amazing.
Well, it was proof that anything is content, I think. So I managed to get a leaf blower, an ice jacket, and a towel that we'd whacked in the freezer and rolled up. Dry ice within, to explain that Singapore is hot and humid, and just trying to talk about how drivers prepare for the Grand Prix, but mainly because I wanted to have a bit of fun with one of the most entertaining drivers on the grid. And so I got a leaf blower and I turned it up to the max level in Daniel Ricciardo's face, and that blew his cap off, and cue much hilarity. So yeah, it was good. It was really good fun. He was in really good form. I know he's not had the best of time this year, but it was just a bit of a silly kind of piece of content that we put together to try and explain fitness, but also just show obviously his quite well-known lighter side.
And it's a well-known fact now that the way that leaf blower kind of opened his eyes wide, it helped him find some form and he finished fifth. He said it was all because of you.
Medes.
Yeah, it was all your work. It was that he'd actually just been a bit kind of, you know, head down and stuff, but because you physically blew his head backwards, he had to lift up, and he could just see a bit better, and he was like, oh, I can see where I'm going wrong now, and nailed it. So
I'll read the press release quote. He said, the leaf blower that Lawrence Barreto blew away the literal and metaphorical cobwebs that have engulfed me this year. I would like to say to Lawrence Barreto, thank you. You're my best friend, and I love you. That's a direct quote from McLaren. And the reserve drivers, probably.
Yeah, and I've got Zach Brown's follow-up to that. That says, oh, fuck.
Instead of a payout, he's like, I just need another leaf blower.
Yeah.
That would have done it.
Damn expensive leaf blower.
Yeah, absolutely.
Called Oscar Piastri. No, very good content. It was very good content, Barreto. I like that you thought you needed to find a way of showing people that it's hot. I did hear that it was going to be a bit more risky, but that didn't happen.
Well, so I wanted to get hold of an ice bath to also add to the piece. And unfortunately, his Daniel's trainer, Michael Italiano, had a issue with his passport and couldn't make it over in time. So he wasn't able to bring the ice bath with him. Otherwise, that piece would have also seen Daniel or me in an ice bath. Probably would have been, I don't know, you boys tell me, would have that been better content or not? I don't know.
That would have been unbelievable content.
It would have been sensational, but I don't think it would have made such a nice Instagram picture.
No. Quick question on that. You said that Michael Italiano couldn't make it and he couldn't bring the ice bath with. Is that, like, do you put an ice bath in the hold in a plane? Like, do you fold it up and put it in your suitcase? Like, how does that work? So my physio's not here. He couldn't bring the ice bath with him. What's the story there?
I'm not entirely sure.
Surely you just need a bath and a absolute metric ton of ice, don't you? That was my understanding of an ice bath. Didn't know you had to like buy one.
Yeah, but normally the ice baths they have are like, you know, your refuse bins, the big plastic refuse bins. They're like those. They're like tall and skinny rather than an actual bath.
Oh, and they stand. Yeah,
there's a lot of those lying around.
Yeah, I wasn't actually bin. I do a lot for my job. I'm not getting into a refuse bin. Clean or not clean, I'm not getting one.
No commitment. With that, you'll never make it a general.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
General, I had to put in the hard yards of climbing into bins. Some of them weren't even, I didn't even need to. I just did it. for the corporate ladder. Yeah. No, I'm gonna have to ask physios about that when I next see them. Do you physically, because that must take up a load of space in the suitcase. Like, what do you pack? Not much. The ice bath. And that was it. That's all I could fit in. A couple of pairs of underwear in there. Probably, a few socks.
You could probably.
you get to check in your bags. They're like, sir, they're like, sir, no, come on. It's funnier if it's in the suitcase. Get to check in the luggage. Like, sir, you're a bit overweight. Is that okay? I'll just take the ice bath out, and it's like 28 kgs on the scales. You take that out, and it's like, oh yeah, you're now 3 kilograms. Congratulations. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. Can I check this in separately? Absolutely not. Leave your ice bath here, please. But yeah, you're right. It's probably a lot more simple than that, which is sad.
Well, maybe, Nate. Maybe we can keep this feature idea for you at some stage. Maybe you could try out an ice bath.
I'd happily do an ice bath. I just never go to races warm enough for one. Well, Miami was pretty ice bath weather. But yeah, Singapore's like a special kind of hot, isn't it? Right? I've never been there either, so.
It's just, it's so humid. Like, you get out.
I'd be in real trouble there because I'm quite a sweaty man.
And well, part of the problem is, as well, when you build a temporary racetrack, a street circuit, and you add all the extra buildings and all the extra kind of support paddocks and then the generators to run it and all the sort of wiring that's needed for the floodlights and things, it's very hot around the circuit. So I noticed it that you could walk quite a while. I didn't have to too often, but walk quite a while to one of the metro stations in the city, and it wasn't too hot. It was, you know, warm, but you're like, oh, it's okay today. And then you get out the metro station near the circuit, and within like two steps you're just drenched because it's just up another level around there. So yeah, it's rather toasty. And then you have to walk in past a huge group of fans waiting to get drivers' autographs and things, and you've just walked for 10, 15 minutes from the metro, and you're a sweaty mess, and they're the odd one will shout, hey, it's Lawrence Barreto, but there he is being like, not right now, I'm sweaty. kind of how it goes.
I didn't know what to say. I thought you were going to say that a lot of them were asking for your autograph.
I got one shout of hello, Chris. And I said hi as I walked by. And then they said the Padhawk's the best podcast ever, which was very exciting.
I've just remembered I met someone who said that they liked the podcast too.
Oh, really? Was that on the walk into the paddock?
No, they were in the paddock.
Oh, hold up. Have we penetrated the paddock?
I think so.
Don't laugh, Lawrence. It's not dirty. It's a question.
You did ask it in a kind
of
sexual way. No. Have we penetrated the paddock? You didn't need to say it.
It's just alliteration. Have we infiltrated? That is journalistic gold, I'll have you know. So
yeah, true. Have we then, Lawrence? Have we penetrated the paddock?
Here it is.
What are you showing us?
I don't know. His phone's too...
Okay, this is, again...
It's Lawrence doing a photo. For our listeners. No, I got it. It's Lawrence doing a photo with fans outside the paddock.
Yes,
he's posing for photos. That'll go on their socials.
Someone took a photo of me and the fans outside the paddock. They were very, very excitable, knowledgeable. It was great. Like, they cheered everyone who came out of the paddock. Everyone.
Everyone.
That's pretty cool.
I don't remember getting cheered.
That's very cool. Well, speaking of excitable, Medus sent a very excitable message during the weekend on this very theme.
Indeed.
And I was promised, well, we were promised, weren't we, a recording, a live recording. Was that from inside the paddock?
No, because we're not allowed to do live recording inside
the paddock. I was going to say, because I was about to make a joke that I'll take your pass away.
It was,
but you ruined it. You ruined the gag.
Fortunately, being a city-based race, you bump into people all over the shop. And I believe it may well have been the same person who shouted the day before that they loved the podcast. But I got stopped for what I believe is our first ever... I say live. It's not live, is it? Because we're recording this now a few days later. But specific review that was spoken rather than written on any review platform. So that makes sense. Right, doesn't it? Great. Here it is.
Go for it.
Okay. My name's Georgia. I'm from Australia. And my star is 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Definitely the best podcast, F1 podcast. Jokes need improving, though. Just a little bit.
So you're saying Nate's the weak link in the podcast?
Yeah. Sorry.
We all thought so.
Also, congratulations on your engagement as well.
Thank you very much. Awesome. You having a good time here?
Yeah. Yes.
Mega.
It's hot. Yeah.
So hot.
Very hot, yeah.
Even hotter standing still.
No, yeah. It's better when you're walking. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh. Awesome. Thank you for the review.
That's all right. Thank you.
There you go. Just finished with extra review. So Georgia from Australia. I mean, 5 stars.
I'm glad that she specified she was from Australia because I never would have guessed otherwise that she was Australian. I'm going to say that was an okay review. You know, that was average.
I wonder why.
An average 5 out of 5. Yeah. I mean, the jokes aren't great. I'll give her that. But weak link? Come on. Come on. I'm a link. I'm a link. We're all regular links here.
That was my way of just bringing you down a peg or two. I was the one who said that. They were my words.
That's true. You did. Stars. That's good. Thank you to Georgia from Australia. In case anyone missed that bit. but that's great though.
Thanks for the 5 stars. I think that's quite an impressive.
Well. Yeah, getting a live review in person. Medus loves a review anyway, so I bet you're absolutely buzzing for the next 24 hours. Medus was like, Medus texted everyone. Yeah, he messaged us. I just got a live review in person. So yeah, mega.
I was very excited about it. We've had quite a few recently.
Well, before we get into that, Medus, you met lots of people in Singapore, didn't you? Because you hosted a panel of racing drivers talking to lots and lots and lots of fans.
Yes, I did. I hosted speaking of Australia, a lunch for Sportsnet, which is an Australian sports travel company. And there were, it must have been about 400 people in this big kind of conference room in one of the nice hotels by the track. And I got to just host the event in terms of telling them where they needed to go to get their food and their drinks and the toilets. That genuinely was the first 5 minutes is all I did. But then, yeah, we had a panel after they'd eaten where I had Felipe Massa, we had Naomi Schiff, we had Jamie Chadwick and Pietro Fittipaldi. So it was the four of them up on stage with me and we were just shooting the shit a little bit, spoke about their careers, what's been going on. And spoke to Felipe about 2008 and how close he came to the title, but also Singapore being Singapore, where it all kind of slipped away thanks to a bad pit stop and crashgate. So he was good about that. And yeah, it was awesome. Obviously, we were talking to Jamie as well before she could have won the W Series title, which sadly didn't happen. But fingers crossed they get to race in Austin and she can do it there. But yeah, the fans were great with it as well. And then they got to ask some questions. But the funny part of it was when the first question from the floor was, what's happened with Daniel Ricciardo, basically? And half the room just were like, oh, like, there was no like nodding or kind of like, yeah, good question. It was almost like they were just all afraid to talk about it. There was this proper like, yeah, it was like sucked the enjoyment out of the room for a second. So we had to make a bit of a joke about that. But everyone was really good with their answers and their explanations. Felipe was excellent talking about how if a team just doesn't feel quite right for you, it can get downhill pretty quickly. And he talked about when he was with Fernando as teammates, how Fernando kind of divided Ferrari. And got everyone onto his side, but you're either on his side or you weren't, sort of thing. And he said it made it feel like not a comfortable place to be anymore, especially when they enacted team orders early. And I want to say it's 2010 when he got the Fernando is faster than you message. I think it was that year.
Germany.
So I think earlier that year, the second race in Australia, he got asked to move for Fernando as well. And he was like, he said, why? He's like, we're just racing. It's near the end. I'm ahead of him. Like, why should I move? And he didn't. He said it didn't really come out at the time, but because someone asked, you know, when do you have to just say, screw it, I'm doing my own thing. And Naomi said whenever she's racing, she had a lot of radio issues. If she was ever asked to do anything that was, you know, get out the way of anyone, she'd be like, sorry, what? I can't.
So, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it was really funny. Anyway, so yeah, it was all very good. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was cool to do. They were a cool group. They all needed to rush off because they had other work commitments. We did it Friday before FP1 and needed to get to the track for more commitments. But they were all so good with their time that we'd finish and we're trying to leave and fans wanted photos and autographs and to talk. And all of them stayed longer than they were meant to and were then eventually like rushing, being like, oh, shit. And Felipe, we left there. He had a later start courtesy of your lot at Formula One, Barreto. So we left him there. He was still doing photos and talking to fans. And he was like, yeah, I'm fine. See you later. So... yeah, very good of him and them. So that was fun.
Just trying to work out if that would have cost Alonso the title in 2010. Yeah. That's 3 points he was cost. Oh, no, he lost by 4 points. Okay. That would have been amazing if it came out from one of your things that Massa actually doing that cost. Because you think about it, he lost by 4 points. But, yeah, that would have been 3 points Alonso would have gained.
So what was it? Did Felipe finish third and fourth for Alonso?
Yeah, if it was Australia.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, Fernando was right behind him, basically.
But then, you know, if there's 3 points difference, maybe they don't pit him in the way they did. You know, they'd have had extra points to play with. I don't know. Or does he just lunge down the inside of Petrov at one of those corners? We'll never know.
Maybe.
We will never know.
Maybe gets that move done and wins the title.
Yeah, just goes for it.
Oh,
just lunges
Felipe,
it.
Baby, what have you done?
Yeah, what has he done?
Very good.
No wonder. No, that sounds great. It's nice when drivers talk in that environment as well. They don't feel like all their quotes are going to immediately become newspaper headlines. And they're just a bit more open.
It's just later when Medland reveals more on a podcast later
on. Yeah, explain it all.
With Nate Saunders, who then is like conspiracy theorizing on Wikipedia.
As you should be.
But yeah.
Well, before I was rudely interrupted by Barreto. Tell a story that I actually really wanted to tell, so thank you for that. I was about to run through some...
You're welcome.
Some other reviews. But I need to just flag up that we did get some very cool photos on our socials over the last week or two because a guy called Kyle Shirley tweeted us saying, can I get a coffee mug for best view while listening to the paddock and put up a picture of just somewhere tropical.
Yeah, that was great. Where was that? Did you find
out? No, I need to ask where exactly that was. Carl, if you're listening, which of course you are, because this will be proof that photo wasn't just a random photo and you pretended to listen. Tell us where that was. And then Andy North sent us their view, which was also very cool, of a swimming pool in some hills somewhere sunny.
That's like an infinity one, isn't it? Where it just drops off the edge.
Yeah, small infinity pool. And I want to say it looks kind of Mediterranean. So also Andy North, tell us where that was. And then Kathy sent one of on a hike, and I've almost dropped my phone, but it was a very cool view. We're going to put, well, I think we liked all of these on Twitter. So if you go to the Pad Hoc's likes, you'll see all these photos.
She could have been listening to the Pad Hike, couldn't she?
Very good. And then the best one came from Rue, who said, here's me listening to the Pad Hoc on Everest. Which...
Why?
No, Lawrence. No, I mean... No, Lawrence.
No.
Oh.
Lawrence.
It's a joke.
Oh.
It's a gag, mate.
They've just scribbled over the flag that they'd taken up to Everest and put the Pad Hoc, or whoever took it up to Everest, and put the Pad Hoc on it. They're all very good. So I wanted to give shout-outs to them. And yes, maybe a mug might make its way to one of the three legitimate claims to listening somewhere cool. Everest is not one room.
Or we will bury one at the top of Everest and the first one to get to it gets to keep it.
Now that's a great idea, Nate. When you leave it.
That's a podcast challenge.
Yeah.
When you leave it.
Yeah. I'll well, you guys are in, well, you're in Japan, lads, so I'll head off.
Lead the way, general.
That's what I'm a leader now. Yeah, I'm a general. General of men.
Right. Anyway. So I will now loop back to the reviews, because we had a little sad spell, didn't we, where we got one star review and then nobody followed up. And I think people could hear the pain in our voices on the last episode, because we've had four reviews, of which one of them I can't actually read this week, because I think it's... Oh, no, I can. It's a complete review. So settle in, because this will be quite quick. 5 stars from Mark in Canada, who says, the only Formula One podcast I won't miss. The first few times I listened to the Pad Hoc, I was certain these guys were contractually obliged not to talk about F1 outside of their real jobs. It seemed like they would discuss anything but F1. Airports, Christmas-themed towns, barbecues. But over time, I've come to realise that, in a way, this is probably the most inside look at the sport you can find. Even when they seem to be doing anything but talking F1, they still find a way to shed a light in behind the scenes of corners that are rarely, if ever, discussed. 5 stars, keep up. Yes, Mark.
Nice. Did wonder where that was going just for a second, but yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Then Belly Bumps in the US of A says, one of my podcast highlights of the week. So, I mean... We're slowly getting downgraded, but okay. 5 stars. I'm always excited when a new episode shows up on my phone. Love the 60-second review. I feel like that musician needs another shout-out for some great work. Love the jokes. Maybe we need a supercut of Lawrence's reactions to them. And love the insight that you'll bring to my understanding of F1. Thanks for taking the time to make this during your clearly busy schedules. So Belly Bumps is Tim in Boston, because actually signed off with his name.
Thanks.
And yes, Martin is the musician who needs a shout out for his great work for our jingle. But I just want to emphasize that Nate nearly didn't do a 60-second review this week.
I was always going to do it. That's my process, isn't it? I said to you, I'm going to do it. And then I always do one. There's never been one I've not done, is there?
No, but I felt like we were quite close today to you just going no. And I want to play now, because there wasn't a window. I really enjoyed the return to the format they used today.
Yeah,
I really liked it,
and it was all in one take, so that's back to that format of just saying it as I go. So, you know, no more rebellion here from this. I'm a general now, you know. I've got to lead by example. No more of that mutinous chat.
I would say, though, leave that behind. That every now and then, if you want to throw some poetry in, or, you know, just a wild card, I think that's cool. But I think the core theme of 6 second review is what I really love.
Yeah, nice. All taken in, and so next week I'll do a soliloquy for you. I'll do a song. I'll get a band in. I'll do a song.
And you've got that on record, then.
Maybe. Yeah, I've got to stop making bold promises like this, haven't I?
Yeah, you may have thought you were in a planning meeting, but we're still recording.
I was going to suggest that we somehow do a challenge where we all end up in an ice bath at some point, but then I couldn't kind of work out like what we'd have to do. I mean, and Meadows is like shaking his head, going, "No, don't do that." But I feel like I've already done it.
Nobody
now, so.
Needs to see that.
So why don't we have a think about how one of us or all of us can end up in an ice bath and what? Separate ice bath.
Oh, okay. Separate ice bath. All right, here we go. Yeah. This is taking a turn.
Yeah, I'm glad that's quite a key clarification. But I'm fine with an ice bath. I'll do that.
Well, before you plan that, last two reviews. One is The Joke Whisperer. 5 stars from M Sports Engineering in the US of A. He says, Nate's jokes are always too quiet, so I just gauge if they're funny by how much Lawrence laughs.
Oh, shit.
Okay. So speak up, Nate, apparently. Although the Joke Whisperer is an interesting...
That's quite a good way of putting it. Maybe I'm just too quiet in general. That's definitely feedback general, I've had in my life.
In general, was that? How many times? Nice. And then final review, 5 stars. Is this a bad comedy show? ? I mean, good question, Max from the Netherlands. Hi, Chris, Lawrence, and that bold dude. There are a few podcasts where you want to stop learning for school and start and stop everything else that I'm doing, spinning in F1 2022 mostly. But you guys are awesome. The podcast is great. And bold Jason Statham dude, please rehearse your 60 seconds review. It makes this world a better place. I think that was kind of a compliment. It was more, you know, don't give up on it. By the way, you guys should think about having guests on the show, like fellow F1 journalists. Ben Hunt, perhaps. He seems like a cool guy. Is this a Ben Hunt? This got to be a Ben Hunt. This is definitely Ben doing this review. He must have gone to the Netherlands. Best of luck in Singapore. The track is awesome and the country as well. I flew to Vietnam for holidays and visited the track in Hanoi. Lol, RIP. And had a layover in Singapore. Even the airport blew my mind. Yes, Max, the airport is crazy. Lawrence and I, as before we sign off, went to see some butterflies in the airport before we flew, which Lawrence is so excited to talk about. He's not even looking.
Sorry.
It's because he's had an email that's the schedule of press conferences. It's not anything about the FIA. Before anyone listens to this, after that's all come out and wonder why we didn't talk about it. But we've recorded before it comes out so we can get on with working.
Yeah, it could age badly, couldn't it? If it's all out, people are like, I want to hear their feedback on the budget cap.
Oh. We are undecided is our feedback.
Yeah, we're digesting the news before it comes in.
Yes. Anyway, Lawrence, didn't we go and see butterflies?
We did, and I saw you for, I don't know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes in Singapore, Changi Airport. And went to the Butterfly Garden. I loved it. Changi Airport is probably one of the best airports in the world because there's just so much to do. If you ever get stuck there, and I hope you don't, but if you do, it's one of the better airports to do. So Medlin took a great photo of me with a butterfly.
No, I didn't. I took a photo of a butterfly and you're in the background.
What? Wait, the ego on this guy now. Yeah, unbelievable.
It was in portrait mode. So the butterfly is very much in focus. And there's just, I'm even going to show Nate. So this was the photo, right? But he's just said I took a photo of me with a butterfly.
No, but
no, I've seen it because it was on all your Instagram channels.
Because I was over taking over the mic that I was like, who's the TV star in the background?
And
the next one where he's looking at the camera is out of focus because the photo is of the butterfly. I'm sorry, mate. I love you, but we were in a butterfly garden. I was taking a photo of a butterfly.
You told me to wait as you were taking the photo.
Well, it was because it was arty. It's trying to be arty. And it worked. Look at the talking point it's become. And that's what
I've had so much abuse from you guys today. I mean, I don't know what to do.
You can probably go, to be fair. As we all can.
All right, okay. In which case, I'm just going to end the podcast because that's kind of my job, isn't it? So in which case, I'm going to call it there.
Yeah, same.
Me three.
Bye, everyone.
The general gets to have a say now.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone who... Oh, no.
No, sorry. I was just going to say, I would like you to sign us out, please.
Is that an order?
It is.
Well, thanks. Thanks, mate. Well, now I've got your permission, mate. I'll close it down. Thanks to everyone who's listening, and thanks for following us on our social channels. You can follow us on @thepadhoc. You can read Meadows' work on race.com. You can read that bald guy's work on ESPN.com, and you can read my work on F1.com, and we'll do this again very, very soon.
Bye.
At ease, General.
At ease, soldier.
Network.